Alright, alright! Welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Elwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It is great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I've decided I have two bones to pick with you today, Seth.
I thought we might have at least one.
bone number one is... I didn't look it up. It was a normal thing. I would normally go back and look it up, but pretty sure you have just absolutely dominated me in our head-to-head matchups for the last, 5 years,
yes,
if not longer.
Yeah.
It happened again last week. You beat me, and I'm getting sick of it. so that's bone number one. And bone number two is that by beating me last week, you messed up a clean sweep for the squish factor.
I know.
Across the league. It was a great week for the squish factor.
Yeah.
But there you are, 5-1 ahead of everybody else now. Would it have been so bad to drop one?
No, I was projected under you this week. I thought both bones were gonna be no qualm, no issue, because I thought I was gonna lose to you. I think I was projected 20 points south of you. And that would mean one up for the squish and would have had the perfect board. However, both were defied, and I don't know how I feel about it. I know exactly how I feel about it. I ain't sorry. I'm fine with it, is what I say. I know that it's been a while since you beat me, and we've had a couple matchups per season, too. So it's not just a five-season run or whatever, but... I'm very pleased. I did not think I was going to win this week, and I certainly didn't expect to be 5-1. So I feel this target on my back. So it was making me think about every year at this time. You remember how I would go on an annual hike to Arkansas?
Yep.
Eagle Rock Loop is what we called it. And on this hike, there is this, it's a hill. It's called Brush Heap Hill or Brush Heap Mountain. It is the tallest peak on the trail, and relatively speaking, it's a very, very strong ascent. You cover about 1,400 feet of elevation in 3/4 of a mile.
Ooh.
So if you can imagine the ground track, it's just a massive uphill climb, and it nearly kills us every year. And so a few years ago, I started trying to make it fun by calling it Record Hill. And I would challenge everybody, hey, you're going to set your personal best record. What are you going for? What's your goal? Timer starts and you hustle up. And every year we've all improved because it's now become this really fun thing. But we would draw straws to see who would have to go first because you run it in 30-second increments. And I hate going first. And my friend Brian loves going second because in his mind, target acquired, I'm going to overcome you. And I just got this pressure of a 6'5" man who's 80% leg, 20% torso, barreling down on me on this hill. I hate it. I hate having that pressure. I would so much rather have the target out in front of me. And now here I am at 5-1, and the 6'5" giraffe hunting me down, both in points for and in his record.
That's a good metaphor. Your team has been running so hot. I tend to think there's got to be some regression coming, but you pitch really well. You got some really good players who have been performing really well for you. So, you've also got guys like Breece Hall who are just getting stronger as the season goes on. So, who knows? You still don't have a quarterback, which might be part of why it's frustrating that your team is doing so well, because you beat me last week with Baker Mayfield scoring 7 points at quarterback and. Yeah. Usually a quarterback is a little bit of a difference maker if you score 7 points.
Well, when your kicker makes up the deficit,
you're in trouble. Yeah,
you're
all
right.
True.
Yeah,
that is true. Yeah. That's true.
Well, congrats to you on a solid. Here we are on week 7, and you're rocking a 3-3. That is not a bad place to be. You've got your work cut out for you, but it's well within the realm of possibility. Additionally, we start to talk about that line, that 2-4 line here approaching week 7. And I think who better than to voice an opinion, a feeling, really a state of the union for those who have a bit of, yes, it was a political pun, I'm sorry, who have, I couldn't help it when I can see the Capitol out over his shoulder. as I'm looking at him on screen right now. Who better than to represent Middle America than the very Charles Gaines? Charles, you're on the air.
Happy to be here. I don't know if we could do some tech magic and add an applause or or a crowd. Maybe we can get that going. But happy to be here. Longtime listener. Not the first time caller.
No.
And with my record, I'm actually happy to be here. So
we thought that logic might play out. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Well,
yes.
You are sitting 2-4, and with a winning streak, mind you. Yes. And so congratulations on not being 1-5. The Squish Factor thanks you for that. You were looking the 1-5 down the barrel. Did not come to fruition. So, yeah, how are you feeling about where you're sitting? What is it looking like? Give us your thoughts, and why are you even here?
Yes, well, a couple of things. One, everything is going according to plan. We knew that we being our back office here, back and front office. We knew that this was going to be a slow start, given my draft strategy, and maybe we can touch on that for a moment.
We definitely will. Yeah.
Then I'll keep going. But I feel very confident in how the season has gone so far. Recent wins have given me the confidence, the boost I need to know that the strategy is going according to plan. In terms of my team, I feel very confident that I have all the pieces I need in order to go the distance. How many dollars I have to spend on the waiver. who needs dollars when you have the right team? I feel very confident that I have all the right pieces in place to make it to the playoffs, and then from there, it's anyone's game.
Yeah, so let's go back to the draft strategy, because that's definitely one thing I was most interested to talk to you about here on the podcast. Those who have been paying attention know you kept Josh Allen, and then you drafted Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes. By and large, those are the top three quarterbacks, and we only play one quarterback in our league. So tell me, what was your thinking behind the strategy? Where did you develop that strategy? It seemed to be extremely intentional going into the draft. So just what was your overall mindset going so hard after three quarterbacks when we can only play one?
Yes, it was very intentional. I wanted the goal. This was the goal. The goal was to create my own market. The situation was, I think I was starting with 190. I think the top draft team started with, was it 240, 250?
220.
So I needed to come up with a difference of at least $30. In my mind, that either could happen during the draft when everyone could see similar numbers, or that could happen during the season when, depending on the trade, folks would evaluate the cost of a Mahomes or a Hurts differently than they would during the draft. So that was my strategy. And I'll say, I think I was able to fill in a couple of holes through those trades. So it worked out really well, I think.
So that's what I was going to go to next was, you know, then now that we have the benefit of hindsight and you have traded Hurts and Mahomes now, do you feel like you got what you were looking for out of the strategy, out of those trades? You said you're confident in your team, you got all the pieces. Just curious, would you do it all the same if you had to do it over again, or would you do anything differently?
Oh, I would do it the exact same. I think now that being said, I will forecast here. I will not do have the same approach this upcoming draft, only because the situation is different. There's no need to implement that sort of strategy. Also, I think there is something to having a shock factor, especially in this league. The longer you're in this league, the more not reliable, predictable. Mm-hmm. Each member comes, and there's something good to that. But there's also, you know, you want to keep your fellow owners on the edge. You don't want them to know have you pegged too much. So I thought this strategy might change things up. Go in shock and awe, similar approach, and hopefully I kind of accomplish that. And
I would say you got halfway there. There was shock.
I think like I said, I think looking at my team now, I feel like I really do have a pretty solid team that everyone does need to do their part. But with the trades of a couple folks, with the waiver wire of a particular unknown receiver, I think a few folks have made considerable differences to my team.
So I have a question that is also kind of a commiseration, and you can clarify if it's not, but you went all in, you bought like three quarterbacks out of your first four picks, and then you had, you know, a good chunk of change left, and you bet the farm on Austin Eckler as your running back. And at that point, and that was pretty early in the draft, and from there, you're pretty much done until you could pick up your $1 players the rest of the draft or whatever. Now, Eckler came out of the gate swinging in week one up against Miami, but then got hurt and has since then been either off the bench or on bye or coming back against Dallas, hoping to recover well. He didn't get as much as one would hope out of the gate. But you did end up going a considerable chunk, about 5 weeks of loss of investment from your primary position holder, if you weren't going to move your quarterback trades in a timely manner for your backfields of those positions. So how much of a disappointment was his injury to you? Like, what degree of strategy, depending on his health, within your game plan of shock and awe coming out into the draft?
Oh, yeah. So I would say about zero. The strategy that I have for this season is gonna lose the first couple of games. If I could win one or two, I mean, that would be fantastic. But the idea was to, if I were to lose the first four or five games, I actually would be okay with that. Okay. Only because, and now we're gonna have to follow the season and see what happens. Only because I felt as though by then I would have picked up or traded enough to get on quite of an impressive winning streak. Mm. So the idea here is I do believe I'm going to win quite a few games from this point on in order to get to the playoffs. I think I would be more concerned if the reverse were to happen. If Eckler were to be in great health, if I were to additionally lose games, or if I were to win a couple games and Eckler gets hurt mid-season to the later season. So the fact that he really didn't have much of an impact early on actually was fine. Yeah. If everyone were to get hurt early on, I'd be fine with that because my team wasn't complete. At this point, I feel as though I have a fairly complete team. And if I were to continue to accumulate L's at this point, I will be a little bit more nervous.
All right.
Another draft pick that you had was Jonathan Taylor, who started the season talking about a holdout situation and then placed on injured reserve for four games. So it kind of goes with the same theme of, it's okay if we start slow. It's okay if we lose, you know, everything in the first 4 weeks. Now he's come back. He's been back for 2 weeks. And this week you traded him.
Yes.
What was the thinking behind trading him this week now that he's actually like coming back and starting to get healthy and ramped up? Isn't this the time you would want to have him after you drafted him?
So there are two positions that have been my Achilles heel that I really needed to shore up. One was just one last solid receiver. If I could have one solid receiver, that'd be great. And the second has been the tight end. I've just been in a position where I've always had a wide receiver who, whether a Cowboys or whomever, who just continued to just fall short and disappoint. I mean, that was just one line that was a continual below 10, you know, it just not great, below 5 at some points. And similar story with my tight ends. I'm not saying that trade for both Waller and Godwin, not saying that they'll be absolute studs, but I do think they'll bring consistent numbers. And at this point, like I mentioned earlier, my team early on and historically has been really relying on the playmakers to make plays. This strategy this year is more toward nice, even consistency. If you just kind of do your job, sort of, I should come out with a decent performance, as opposed to how my team was set up before, where I really need a stud to be a stud. So hopefully this sort of more of a peanut butter sort of spread is more a sustainable approach as opposed to kind of high, low, lows. At this point, I can't risk high, low, lows. I need to consistently be a decent 150-ish team. If I can do that, 140, 150, I'm good with that, as opposed to the 160, 170 every now and then.
That was exactly where I was going with my next question, is what kind of point expectations do you have for your team moving forward? I wanted to know that because with the exception of week one's, I think, higher than average score across the board, which you lost to me, even though you had 150 points, your wins have come below 135 points.
That's right.
And the rest of your losses have, I think, probably averaged around 115, maybe less. And so, yeah, I'm curious to know like what your expectation is.
135 is a base, and anything above that, if I were hovering around 140, great. And then 150 would be, you're moving.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you unpacking this strategy here for us. I can't say that I would have the stones that you do to go for it. I couldn't do it. And I can't say that I believe it's going to work either. But I can tell you this. If we are sitting in this circle in 7 weeks celebrating your championship run and congratulating, I will go back and find the We Were Wrong song specifically for that podcast episode. I say we. I don't know. Pete, I'll let you speak for yourself. What do you think about this crazy, crazy strategy?
I've stopped like betting against Charles because I think every year the strategy looks a little bold for my liking. This one was definitely beyond bold. This is full out taking on, I think I said it was taking on too much risk coming out of the draft. I think the way the lead has worked out, because everyone's pretty tight, you know, the first place team is 5 wins, the last place teams are tied with 2 wins. I mean, everyone is still in it here after six weeks. So that's exciting, and that definitely helps Charles in this situation, because it's not like he's just fighting for, you know, 2 remaining playoff spots where the first 4 are pretty much locked in. Now it's still like everyone is going for all 6 playoff spots. Seth, they just laid up with the 5-1 record, but anything could happen. And it'll be really interesting to see how the lead overall plays out. And I think that, definitely has helped, like Charles and, Jared Lorenz, we'll talk about his team too, but he's getting healthy now. He's won two in a row. And so, you know, even though didn't beat for those first 4 weeks, everyone's kind of coming on stronger here. I wouldn't say everyone's coming on stronger, but some of these teams that have been struggling at the start of the season are coming on stronger. And so It will definitely make for a very interesting race to the finish from here, because we might see things get flipped upside down a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't think when it comes to the draft strategy, I know that all of us were confused. I don't think anybody was as upset at you as was Jared Lorenz for knocking off a part of his strategy, which we'll have to have him on the air to understand the intricacies of which his strategy was impacted by yours. But Charles, you are you're a change agent, sir. You are a disruptor of the norm. And I love that about you. You've always brought value and fun to the league, whether it was in your, you bucked the trend of nobody changes their name. Well, not this guy, he changes it every year. You came in and beat us at our own game. I don't think you ever did auction draft prior to this league. Was that true? Remind me.
I have not. Yeah, it's just been auction.
Yeah. Oh, you've only done auction. Okay.
Only done auction.
To be clear, I don't think Charles ever played fantasy football.
That's what I'm getting at. And all,
that's true.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that's true. That's what you mean.
Before, well, actually, no, it's not what I meant. I meant hadn't done an auction league. Peter clarified in your favor is what happened there. He made my point all of the more impactful and also sad. But
I've been doing this for 18 years and
no comment. But my hat goes up to you, sir, because I appreciate the gamemanship, the showmanship, and the spirit in which you play the game, even when I can't figure it out. And I wish you the best of luck. Why don't you stick around while we do your matchup rundown before we say goodbye to you? This week is week 7. We are coming off of a week, as Peter mentioned, that Squish Factor rained with a tiny little asterisk. The field is open because of it. That means that plenty of opportunity for everybody to go on a strong run here. And I would say that there's even a couple of teams who I expected to be in a stronger position based on how they were doing in weeks 3 through 5 that are no longer the threat that they were. And that's interesting to me too. But this week you are up against Scott, which is always historically the hardest team to evaluate head to head because he has a tendency to slow play his bench fill. This week it looks pretty sincere. In that he hasn't offloaded his bench entirely. He's just sitting empty in his quarterback and his kicker position. So we'll speculate. But your team, at least from a projection standpoint, looks pretty healthy. It's about 140 right there in that range that you're describing where you want to be week to week with your team. You've got Josh Allen at the helm. Eckler, hopefully even more healthy. He's up against Kansas City. They're good, but that could be a beneficial matchup for you in that despite being an away game for him, it may be a high-scoring away game. Peter, what do you think about the current build-out of Charles' team?
So, yeah, I was looking at it earlier, and, you know, I think there was 1 week where we were recording a podcast where I think I mentioned Charles has a couple players in the lineup that you really don't want to have to play in your starting lineup, you know, where it's like that's just such a fringy play, like, you know, what else did he do at this point? But that's not someone you want to have to put in there. Now you look at his team, it's like, okay, yep, you've got a legit fantasy player in every spot now. Mm-hmm. It's no longer the fourth wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or, you know, whatever. It's like, you don't want to have to play that guy, right? So, looking, you know, like a solid team. Looks like the team that you're describing, the kind of team that's going to, you know, be 135 to 150 kind of consistent scoring team right now. And yeah, I think you do get the potential upside from Eckler, you know, Josh Allen, and then you know, Puka Nacua. I haven't said his name yet, but he's been just fire. Such a crazy
fire
revelation coming off you know, as a waiver ad, and just, you know, he's I racked up a ton of catches already this year. He's the number six wide receiver on the year. So, pretty cool. Looking good. Scott's team is definitely hurting with the bye weeks this week because he's got Ja'Marr Chase on bye. He's got two quarterbacks on bye with Dak Prescott and C.J. Stroud. So he'll probably plug into Deshaun Watson, assuming Watson's going to play, which seems to always be a little bit of a guessing game. This week is a bad week for bye weeks, and it's definitely biting Scott right now. So Scott's been a really, really strong team. He's currently third in the lead in points scored. So this might be one where we see a little more squish coming with Charles definitely having an advantage at this point.
Charles, let's ask you, where do you think you're strongest? Where are you most concerned in your own lineup and then who you're facing?
Yeah, I'd go with Puka. I feel as though he's been pretty healthy, pretty helpful. I might have to just go with the one that what is it? You leave with the one that brought you. So Allen. I think would be most consistent regardless of his who he's playing against. If he can't throw it, he'll run it. And if he can't run it, he'll throw it. So I think he would be my strongest number for this week. In terms of who I'm most concerned about, I'm always most concerned about everyone. But maybe Ingram, maybe. Stevenson, maybe, but even then, I don't know. I feel pretty good about this week. I'm looking for some wood to knock on, but if there were a week to feel good, I think I feel good. Just in terms of the buys and that sort of thing, not necessarily in terms of, the entirety of the team. It's just buys happen to work out, I think, in my favor. This go around.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I'll kind of throw out there, don't know if rumor mill, but Mooney, that would be, how fun would that be if he were to get traded? Maybe to Kansas City or some place along those lines. So I don't know if y'all have been hearing those same rumors, but that would be a fun treat.
Oh, man. The production department would like to remind you that using our podium for your personal trade fodder and enticement is against our policy. So,
I would love to keep them.
of course, yeah. Oh yeah, no, it's going to take a lot to move them. I get it, Charles. Expect nothing less.
Oh man. But I think if I could, you know, humbly predict, I think hopefully I can get a W and it just makes this whole thing that much more competitive.
Yeah.
Man, that's just like the funniest thing I've heard in a long time on here of like trying to create a trade market for Darnell Mooney based on the potential that he might be traded to a different NFL team.
That's exciting.
Totally unknown which team he would go to for a guy who wasn't that good last year and has 10 catches on the season this year.
Rumor mill. Who's rumor mill?
And you use the word, wouldn't that be exciting? Like, what? I can't imagine a situation where Darnell Mooney getting traded would generate excitement that I'd want to go trade anything for him. But more power to keep creating your own markets. Just keep creating your own markets.
He's a genius. Oh. Respect the process. Respect his methods.
Let's see. Popcorn and let's watch and let's wait.
Of all the players, Darnell. Hey, you know what? Zach Ertz might be traded too.
That's true.
Whoa.
He's a starter, watch Pete. Out. Let's be clear.
I cannot wait.
Well, Charles, thanks for joining us on the air.
Well, thank you all. Happy to be here.
Thanks for braving the inverted curse that'll help you get your feet back underneath you.
Thank you both. I'll see you next time.
Blessings. Yeah, I got to cut all that out. Wow.
Oh, man.
That was good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Well, tell you what, let's do a quick rundown of our remaining matchups here for week 7, shall we?
All right, let's jump into Michael and Jared Lorenz's matchup. This one looks pretty juicy. Michael got a good start from Kamara and Etienne last night, though Calvin Ridley did not do so well, but those two running backs really did well. Bye weeks are a factor here once again. With Garrett Wilson, Nico Collins on bye for Michael, T. Higgins on bye for Jared, and then health is a factor for Jared with Deebo Samuel potentially being banged up. So we'll see what happens there, but that's a Monday night game. So I guess on the one hand, he has a little more time to get right and ready for this week. And on the other hand, if he's out, then Jared's going to be in a tough spot. But right now, still after the Thursday night game, Michael's projected to a 7-point lead in the projections. And I think this will be a fun one to watch with some of the matchups they have, with Jared's team getting healthier, Cup and Kelsey running at full speed now. And I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too. Jared's got Cup back at full speed, as you said, and that's exciting. Kamara, man, what a run he's been on. And
yeah,
he's doing that without, I don't think he's gotten a touchdown in several weeks. And so when he starts doing some end zone work, he's just going to continue to run it up if they're using him at that much of a workload. So I'm excited about Miami this week in Philadelphia. So Jared has an opportunity there to light it up with Tua. I agree. This is going to be a fun matchup, and I do hope that it's a higher scoring one. And I think that, especially for Jared, since his team looks really good this week, I know that that would be a nice momentum boost coming off of it. And, of course, the squish factor for the record swap between him and Fitz. So I'm going to put my money fully square on Jared.
I'm definitely rooting for Jared. I will not be bashful and say I'm rooting for Jared, because we always root for Squish, unless it's our own team personally involved, right?
So definitely
rooting for Jared, but hard to call this one. Looks like a toss up to me.
Yeah.
Michael's definitely got a little bit of a couple of birds in the hand after Thursday night football, but we'll see. And it's all going to come down to Monday night, because Jared's going to have the 49ers with Kittle and Deebo playing on Monday night.
That'll be fun. All right, well, let's do our third 2-4, 4-2 matchup, the first being Charles and Scott this week, and Jared and Fitz. So we have Chewy up against Derek, and a quick glance at their workload right now. We've got Chewy, who is currently projected for a win, albeit projected at 133 points. It looks like Derek's team this week is being hit probably by a bye week situation. I know that CeeDee Lamb, Schultz are both out. Lazard is out with the Jets, and I think Thielen is out this week. And so the bye weeks are really chewing through Derek's team this week. And right now he's currently projected sub 100. So Derek really has his work cut out for him this week after a tough loss last week, when his team at full strength is looking really good. What do you think about this?
No, I'm with you. It's definitely another, just like the bye week is like the 13th member of the league this week. it's really just it's biting Scott and Derek. I don't know how Derek really is going to be able to stay competitive in this one. Thielen has been such a revelation.
Need
to stop using that word. Need a different word. Plug something else in for me. But it's just like totally rejuvenated himself going to Carolina. Did not expect that at the start of the year, but he's been like a top five wide receiver this year. So being without him, being without CD Lamb, made it really hard for Derek to hang with this one. So definitely have to lean Chewy's direction here.
Yeah, agreed. All right, well, that'll take us over to a 2-4 tie split, of which I think it's kind of surprising, because Jared Fleming's power ranking and strength, I did not think was equivocal to what you'd say as a 2-4 record. Yet again, bye weeks taking a big, big, big chomp out of his potential this week. Right now, Brian projected with a hearty win, even at just 130 points. He's got a full strength team, Patrick Mahomes being at the helm of it. He got a decent performance out of Michael Thomas, double-digit points from Thursday night. So same deal. I think that Jared just has a really tough battle ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, both these teams have a very similar look this year. Like Brian and Jared Fleming, they've kind of followed the same path this year. They have the same record. They both scored really well in week two and week three, and otherwise have not scored well at all. Just looking at their weekly points scored is interesting. It's really mirroring one another. And actually, I think this team's ended up being pretty close because, you know, the projection we're looking at right now, it's not a full team for Fleming, and he's got a couple of guys he can plug in. So I think this one will end up being pretty close. It's just been a little bit of a question of health for Jared. He's been really banged up, especially his quarterbacks, not doing a very good play out of them. So I think there's a little bit of a bounce back week for both these teams. And I think this one will be, you know, at least a tight one, not a huge shootout or anything, but I think it'll be tight and a little bit low scoring. So it'll be interesting. It's a huge, huge matchup because 3-4 feels very different than 2-5. And that's where one of these teams is going to be in one camp and the other in the other after this one.
Yeah, Squish will only get you so far, and then eventually she'll throw you on the porch. And we are very near to that. Okay. Well, with that, let's take a look at our other tied team records going up. That would be you and somebody I dare say looks a little better. He's been working really hard, as we've discussed the past couple of weeks. We've got Chris Windsor up against you this week, and you're coming off of that stinging loss last week.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about your matchup this week?
Yeah, I don't feel great. You know, Chris Olave got 15 targets last night, which is a lot. Would have been awesome if he
did a ton with it.
Yeah, it would have been awesome if he converted it to more than seven catches for 57 yards. So I needed that. I'm really hurting at running back this week. I traded for Tony Pollard this week, which I'm excited about for the rest of the season.
Do you regret doing that?
No. I kind of felt like it was harpooning my week this week.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be good for the rest of the season. Trying to set up for a long run of success, and just feeling part of it is the lead dynamics because everything's so tight right now. Even if I lose this week, I don't feel like I'm out of it, and I think I'll come back with a really strong team going forward. So, I'm hurting there. I'm gonna need some big performances from somebody to cheer me. If you know, potentially if it's like Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews. If they can hook up for two touchdowns, I'll feel really good. But that's basically what I need. I feel like that's where everything is gonna come down to, is what do Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews do? Because I think Chris will put up a good score. I gotta try to hang with him. I am nervous about Jalen Hurts playing the Dolphins. Because Hurts hasn't really blown up this year. He's topped out at 28 points. On the season.
Yeah.
You know, which included 72 rushing yards and a touchdown, but he hasn't really had a blow up game. And you could say the same thing for Devonta Smith, and Chris has both of those guys, and now they're playing the highest scoring offense in the league. It just feels like this is one where Philadelphia is going to come out with everything that they've got, and we know from last season that they're a really good offense. And I think Hurts and Devonta Smith could both go kind of crazy against Miami. Exciting to watch, but also terrifying to watch for me. So
yeah,
need to put a big score out there from my Ravens before his Eagles come back and attack.
Yeah, I think you're right there. The last time a healthy offense went up against Miami, they made them look like fools. And so despite their own power offense, but I think you're forgetting, you do have a secret weapon, sir. And that is Stephon Diggs. And they're up against New England this week. And I don't know if you know this, but New England is absolutely falling apart. And so
New England is terrible. My concern is that the Bills don't need Diggs to do much to beat New England.
Okay. All right.
You know, we're like,
so they're too bad.
Yeah. I would feel better if Diggs was going up against Miami, you know, where it's like, they're going to need him to keep up with Miami.
Yeah.
I think the Bills could almost sleepwalk their way through beating the Patriots. So, well, I don't know. We'll see. So I'm not expecting big things from Jaden.
Maybe they ramp it up the score in the first quarter or two, and then they can bench him. Hats off to Chris for making it interesting, though. And I think that, again, he knows his stuff. He's been working really hard. And he's looking pretty good.
Yep.
So good luck, sir.
Yeah, he texted me sometime this week, and he said something like, "I had a bad draft, but I'm working hard to stay relevant," or something like that.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
He traded for Jonathan Taylor this week, and I think, just the more we get into it, the more even things look across the whole league. It'll be interesting to see how things look when we come out of the hellish bye week stretch that we're in.
Agreed. All right, man. Well, with that, shall we take a look at Brock and I?
Yep. So this one right now, Brock got a pretty good start from his Jaguars. He stacked Jaguars in his draft. He got Trevor Lawrence, Christian Kirk, and Evan Engram, and they all scored at or above projection, basically. So pretty good start there. As we're looking at right now, he has three empty slots in his lineup. Trying to give him some bonus points for a running back, flex, and kicker, or a defense. Add 25-ish points to his projection, and he'll be right there with you in terms of projection. So this one's looking like a close matchup. I think the really big factor to watch in this one is going to be Christian McCaffrey.
That's right.
Whether he plays or not. And that's Monday night game. You've got him, and thankfully you have his backup, Mitchell, who I think is actually healthy and going to be able to play this week. So if CMC doesn't go, plug Mitchell in. You're at least not totally up a creek without a paddle on Monday night, but Mitchell is no CMC in terms of what you can expect from production. So that'll be a really big factor is what happens with McCaffrey. So definitely rooting for Squish here. And I think it's definitely has a shot at it more so than you would think from y'all's record in the standings, and that you own about 155 points scored advantage on Brock on the season.
Yeah. I'm nervous about this week, and regression will come at some point, and it may, like you say, rise and fall with McCaffrey this week. I do feel really good about Tyreek Hill and Keenan Allen, and I'm hoping that that can make some things happen. I feel like I'm really missing Breece Hall this week, though. He's been kind of a rock for me the past couple weeks, and that's the real piece that I'm going, oh, that's kind of been my ace in the hole to help me stay afloat each week. But we shall see. Of course, my quarterback and defense streaming continues to I wouldn't say it's helping me, but it hasn't hurt me yet. At some point it's going to hurt me. So we will see. But you said earlier that, you know, we root for Squish unless it's against ourselves, and that's, yes, of course, 100% true. But in hindsight, it's not, because remember, I do not like being this targeted, particularly because it puts too much of a spotlight on me. I don't want people to know that I don't know what I'm doing. And so, but we'll see. I do feel good. I'm proud of 5-1. I don't think I've had that winning of a record. I haven't had that winning of a record since 2009. And I'm proud. But
all right.
Yeah. Ray Rice was the man who carried me in 2009.
I liked it. I liked it. Well, you had a great year. And I hope it continues. I don't see how you can keep up this pace. So hopefully you are a little too close to the sun, Icarus, and you come back to us this week. We have a little more of an even sprint to the finish.
I packed SPF 15, so don't worry about me, sir. It's the greatest fantasy football league in the world. This is its podcast. He's Peter Elwood. That was Charles Gaines, and I'm Seth Martin. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.